In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hero or villain? A British politician was asked this week whether he considered Winston Churchill to be a hero or a villain. Now, before I even mention or address the politician's response to that question, let me just take a moment to point out that this is the devil's question. The question is a setup, and the intention of the question is to be divisive. The question represents a worldview where everything is black or white. You are either good or evil. You are either for me or against me. You are either this party or that party, and that's it. It's an either-or choice or question. And if you will allow me to be philosophical for just a moment, be very careful in your life when you are presented with either-or questions or decisions, because sometimes they are a trap. This question was a trap, and boy, did the politician jam his foot right in it. He said that Winston Churchill was a villain, a judgment he came to based upon his evaluation of mistakes that Churchill made earlier in his career before he became prime minister. Well, predictably, that little comment created quite a kerfluffle across the pond this week, with people on both sides rushing to either defend Churchill's legacy or to catalog his shortcomings. Now, my personal feelings about Churchill are fairly well known here. After all, my dog is named Winston. I am, of course, a fan, but my respect and admiration for the man doesn't come from a whitewashed or sanitized view of him. My fandom has not blinded me to his shortcomings. Quite the contrary. My respect for Churchill comes from a recognition that he, like every human being, was deeply flawed. And yet, despite his flaws, he was still able to accomplish great things. Human beings are complex creatures. They are rarely just heroes or villains. We have the capacity to be both, sometimes at the very same time. We can do amazing and wonderful things one second, and then we can turn right around and be selfish and cruel. We know this happens. But we are always being challenged by the devil into categorizing people into just one column or the other. We celebrate people and we build them up and we cheer them. And then we find out that maybe they did something wrong once or made a mistake. Then we proceed to tear them down and ridicule them. This plays out on a daily basis in social media, by the way. We want people to be either heroes or villains because that makes life and relationships neat and tidy. We put ridiculous expectations on leaders and celebrities to be our heroes, and then when they make the inevitable misstep and disappoint us, we take a sadistic glee in tearing them apart publicly, even long after they are dead. Why do we do this? I've been struggling with that question this week. And the answer that I come to is misplaced hope. We like to put our faith, our hope, our trust in other human beings, in mortal men and women. I think deep down, we want our leaders and our celebrities to save us. We want them to have the virtues that we know we lack. We want them to be the source of all that is good in the world, and then, when they fail to live up to that impossible standard, we assume they must be villains. The devil has told us that people are either heroes or villains. If they are not a hero, then they must be a villain. But what has God revealed to us? The prophet Jeremiah rarely minces words. He makes it very clear. Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. Human beings who put their ultimate faith and trust in other human beings have set themselves up. They're bound to be disappointed sooner or later. And Jeremiah used terrific imagery. He says they are like shrubs in the desert. They have nothing to drink from, nothing to draw from. They have no source of real nourishment, vitality, or life. But humans who learn to put their trust in God before their trust in their fellow man, well, those are like trees planted next to living waters, whose roots run deep into the soil and draw nourishment and vitality and life from a well that never runs dry. When hard times come, when the sun shines hot and the land is parched, those trees can still live. Those trees can bear fruit because they are connected to living water. People who look to God as the source of what is good in the world, people who look to God as the fountain of virtue and blessings, those people will not be disappointed. In church circles, I have what is called a low anthropology. Now, that is a churchy phrase, but basically what it means is that deep down, I believe and am convinced that people are actually sinners. From the get-go, us human beings, men and women, we are all fundamentally broken on some level right from the beginning. We are capable of doing good things, but we are not capable of being consistently good without fail all the time. It just does not happen. So few things are as boring to me as having someone's sins placed on public display as if the fact that human beings are sinners is in some way newsworthy. It is not. Every week we come together here and read scriptures that are thousands of years old, and what I walk away with every week is further proof that human nature has not changed. Our technology has changed, our instincts have not changed. And one of the great things about the Bible is that the characters we find there are not one-dimensional. Even the greatest heroes of the Bible are depicted with their sins and their flaws in full display and intact. King David was an adulterer, among many other things. He had huge sins, made huge mistakes, and yet he's still a hero. If you think that just because someone is mentioned in the Bible, or that their image has been carved in marble, or that they've been set in stained glass, that they are somehow free of sin, you're setting yourself up for disappointment, and you're not reading the whole story. What inspires me, though, through reading the scriptures over and over again, is what God manages to do with incredibly flawed people. And I would say that the same thing is true of our modern-day leaders, celebrities, and heroes. If you think that someone must be free of sin in order for God to be using them in the world or working through them, then you are missing the point. No human being is ever consistently good all the time. If we can accept that, then we don't need to clutch our pearls and be overcome by the vapors and ask for the smelling salts every time we learn that someone famous might have, at some point, made a mistake in their life. If we can accept that, then maybe we can finally stop putting ridiculous expectations on each other. Life gets a lot easier when you learn to accept that people aren't perfect. They never were and they never will be. Once you accept that, once you learn to put all of, not to put all of your faith in the flesh and mankind and men and women and other human beings, and once you learn that God is the true source of goodness and salvation in the world, then you can really be amazed at what God is able to do with some sinful human beings. The devil wants you to separate everyone in the world into heroes or villains. The devil wants you to see everyone as either perfect and lovable or flawed and unlovable. But if flaws make you a villain, then we are all in deep trouble. What my God has revealed to me and to countless others in the gospel that this church proclaims is that we worship a God who loves and uses sinful, flawed people. Our God can make a hero out of a villain, and ultimately only God and God alone can know which camp we really belong to. I have lots of heroes. I don't expect them to be perfect. In fact, most of them are deeply flawed in some way. We don't need to whitewash history and pretend our heroes never did anything wrong, nor do we need to catalog their faults and pretend that sin is news. I think that the approach that is most reasonable is what God has revealed to us. Accept that only God is the true source of goodness and salvation. Place our faith and our hope in God, and then rejoice in how he uses and inspires and loves sinful human beings. Amen.